I am so thrilled and excited to have John Waters right here in the studio. From the movie Pink Flamingos to Hairspray and a million titles and moments in between, John Waters is a piece of Americana like no other. Film director, of course, but you have an art show that's opening here in New York at the Marianne Boesky Gallery from April 3rd to May 2nd. It's called Rear Projection. John Waters, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
You know, I've always thought of you as a collector and a curator of the sort of wonderful, ugly absurdities about America. When did you start your collection?
Well, right when I was a little kid, I always was interested in the wrong thing, and I didn't care. And I bought a little Miro portrait at the Baltimore Museum when I was young and took it home when I was seven. All the other kids went, "Oh, that's ugly. I hate that. Why would you have that?" And then I realized the power of collecting art. So because I realized how angry it made people and it excited me.
You know, the characters and the pieces in your visual art are not unlike your films in the sense that they're unusual, they're eccentric, but the thing that amazes me about all of your work, and I think it's true here in this visual art as well, there's a celebration about it. There's nothing alienated and kind of complaining and, oh, everybody teased me. Why is that? How do you maintain that?
Because I've had a great life. What do I? Anybody that's 63 years old and bitter is really no fun to be around. It's fun to be 20 and crazy. At 63, it's kind of disappointing. So I look up to what I make fun of. Everything I celebrate maybe is what other people try to hide, but I don't think I'm better than that. I think people with bad taste are more freer than I am. I care.
Now, there's a social critique in some of your work. There's a series of portraits of cleft palate and hair-lip deformities on celebrities that is bizarre to look at, especially the Tom Cruise one is a crazy image. But you are making a point here. And explain.
I'm making the point that, you know, I certainly believe that the smile train, I am parroting that campaign that is all over America with, to me, a suspiciously high budget. There are billboards of these kids. I get them in the mail every day. And I believe, I hope all the kids get all the money, and I'm sure they do. But they are stars, too. They have made them stars. So I am parroting that campaign by putting those unfortunate birth defects on movie stars and imagining what mixing two kind of stars together and showing. It's still an ad campaign. It's still stars, and it's still trying to get your money.
And it also is a commentary on the power of celebrity. You know, we think of perfect pictures of celebrities as almost invisible. Okay, maybe we see Tom Cruise on the cover of a magazine, but to see it in the way that you project, it really it gets more attention than Tom Cruise would get walking down the street, I would think.
Well, everybody that you see has been retouched. I mean, certainly every photograph from a movie, and I believe that people remember not movies they saw, they remember the movie stills or the poster. And that's why what I tried to do was take all these images from movies and rearrange them in storyboards and come up with a new narrative, my own movies using other people's images.
I've always wanted to ask you this. Do you have a favorite decade?
You know, I always think tomorrow is going to be the favorite decade. I don't look back. I went through the insane 60s. I thought the 50s were terrible. That's when you had to be like everybody else. The 60s is when we rebelled and good things happened and bad things happened. But I always think the best is going to be tomorrow. I don't look back and say it was more fun when I was young.
But I mean, you are a nice guy and you're certainly happy. But you're looking back at the kind of Rita Hayworth pictures of the Hollywood 40s is not nostalgic.
No, because to me, I was like the second one. But I like Jane Mansfield better than Marilyn Monroe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I always liked the one that people liked a little less, more, because they were more extreme usually.
Now, John Waters in a pilgrim outfit. Explain.
That is, I live in Provincetown, Massachusetts in the summer, and we have a town crier that walks up and down the street every day, and I've been fascinated by him for 40 years. So I said to him, "Can I borrow your outfit?" And it was so depressing. I had to go over, get in his outfit, and take a picture of myself. I was so mortified in that outfit. I never made eye contact with one human being on the street. It was an exercise in mortification.
But such courage.
Well, yes.
I mean, you did five things that I wouldn't have done, you know, at gunpoint. And you didn't make eye contact.
Well, when I got out of the car, I heard someone said, "Is that John Waters?" And the person said, "No, it's a lookalike," because I was too embarrassed in the outfit. The only person that saw me was my landlady when I walked across the lawn and she was gardening, and she looked up and saw me dressed as the town crier with no warning. And she just said, "Oh, hi." She didn't know what to say.
Yeah, well, I share her speechlessness. So on the streets of Baltimore, out of a pilgrim outfit, are you recognized?
Yeah, more in New York, I think. People are used to me in Baltimore. Yeah, people say great stuff to me. I think Matthew Marks, the art dealer, said I have the best kind of fame there is. Only the people that I would want to recognize do. It's not like I can't go out. And the people that come over to me say nice stuff. I don't get hassled.
Right. Are you a fan of The Wire?
Yeah, so you're kidding. Really? Everyone, Pat Moran, who did all my casting for my movies, Vince Perenio did the production design. All the crew worked on my movies. I think it's one of the best shows since Pee-wee's Playhouse ever on television.
That's what I was going to ask. I mean, The Wire, it seems to supplant the kind of eccentricity and fabulous sort of smiley-faced weirdness that is the John Waters aesthetic with a kind of a grim sort of...
Well, it's true. The Wire, you know, the governor hates The Wire. You know, he really hated the show, thought it made Baltimore look bad. And I told him, I've seen maps in Japan that people have of the worst corner in Baltimore. There, you know, not everybody likes tall ships. I hate the tall ships in Baltimore.
Right, right. So as a curator of this exhibit and this art exhibit called Rear Projection, why Rear Projection, by the way?
Well, Rear Projection is a term that is, you know, when you see two people in a movie driving in a car and you can tell there's a movie behind them when they shoot it.
Right.
But I took rear projection shots and put real rear ends also in the back. And then I shot movies on people's rear ends. So I was trying to interpret that cinematic expression in many different ways.
With the common theme of rear.
Yes.
What do you hope people take away from this exhibit? And when you observe people watching your art and experiencing your art versus your movies, what's that like?
What do I hope people take away from? I guess a beast.
Right. You want them to buy. Buy.
No, I'm kidding.
Hey, I'm 63. Buy now. Oh, yeah,
but certainly,
it's a recession, folks.
I think that all my work, no matter if it's books, movies, or anything, is about humor, about insider humor, about the business. And I try to celebrate the sadness regular people have for not being in show business.
That's interesting. That you celebrate the sadness people have.
Regular people that aren't in it. I feel they must feel when they wake up every day a little depressed when they look in the mirror that they are not in show business.
In the YouTube era, is it possible there's hope for the people who aren't in show business?
Sure, yeah, because everybody is. And you can just put your most embarrassing moments on in 2 seconds, and then an advertising agency will call and offer you a job if enough people look at it.
So any more movies?
Well, I have a movie called Fruitcake. It's a terribly wonderful children's Christmas adventure, but it's fallen through twice in this economy. I'm hoping to make it. It's about a happy family of meat thieves. In Baltimore, we have that. They knock on your door and say, you take an order. I have 3 steaks, 2 pounds of ground beef, and then they deliver it shoplifted, and you pay half what's on the price.
Oh, you know, more. Baltimore is an endless reservoir of American culture. John Waters, a visual artist, filmmaker, and writer. His show, Rear Projection, is on view at the Marianne Boesky Gallery right here in New York from April 3rd to May 2nd, and in Los Angeles at the Gagosian Gallery from April 10th to May 23rd. John Waters, thanks so much for being
here. Thanks for having me.
So we're keeping an eye on the G20 conference in London, which starts tomorrow, but the protesters are already there today. Now, if you wanted to join the protests, what would you write on your sign? Give us your best protest slogan for the G20 at 1-877-8-MY-TAKE.
Oh, wait. Do you have a slogan? What would you put on your sign? John Waters?
About the Queen?
G20.
What's in that bag?
Nice.
I heard it's empty.
Don't ask that. It's a corgi. Okay, or my take at thetakeaway.org. And if you missed any of our coverage on the meeting, take our podcast to go. Subscribe now at thetakeaway.org or iTunes. And before all the world leaders gather, U.S. President Obama is meeting with Russian President Dmitry Medvedev. So here's your takeaway.
What's going on now is a bit like a first date. Both sides are kind of looking for all sorts of signals and suggestions and hints. You know, they're trying to get a sense of whether there's a real future to this relationship.
That's New York Times Moscow Bureau Chief Cliff Levy.
And in reality, I've got one last question for you, John Waters. We'll save it for the website, takeaway.org. Go there. You'll see the video of the interview, and we'll put up a video of your last answer for the web only. Also, some of the John Waters artwork from Rear Projection will be online, too. Oh, and one more protest slogan.
Hi, this is Jason Cox from Florence, South Carolina. My new protest slogan is, give me okay, vacation, no more, no way, no how.
Whoa, one day
my brother,
co-hosting.
Hello, bro.
You're already a hit with listeners.
Oh.
This is John from New York in the control room at the Takeaway. Does anybody have Femi OK's email address? Thank you.
How did
April
you do
Fool.
That? That was magic.
We are so magical here at the Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Femi OK. This is the Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information at knightfoundation.org. The Rockefeller Foundation and its campaign for American workers. More at rockfound.org. And by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.